I'm excited to bring forth the Word of God this evening. Like he mentioned, tonight's going to be a little bit different as we're starting with the Word. So let's put our Word hats on and get ready for the gospel. I know we're used to doing things a little bit differently, but God changes up things all the time. And this is his service, and he can do whatever he wants. Amen? If God wants to take over through the worship, he can take over through the worship. If God wants to take over through the Word, he can take over through the Word. God is the God that can start healing right now before we even lay hands. God is the God that can start healing before we even anoint with oil. Sorry, I'm getting in preaching mode already. I'm going to ask everyone to stand up for the reading of God's Word, and I'll be reading this evening from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 24. And I'll be starting in verse 18, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, if you'd like to follow. And it says this: On that day, Gad came to David and said to him, "Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite." So David went up to do what the Lord had commanded him. When Arunah saw the king and his men coming towards him, he came and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. "Why have you come, my lord the king?" Arunah asked. David replied, "I have come to buy your threshing floor and to build an altar to the Lord there, so that he will stop the plague." "Take it, my lord the king, and use it as you wish, Arunah said to the king. "Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and you can use the threshing boards, the ox yokes for wood to build a fire on the altar. I will give it all to you, your majesty, and may the Lord your God accept your sacrifice." And there's an emphasis here on verse 24. But the king replied to Arunah, "No, I insist on buying it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing." So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and oxen. David built an altar there to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Lord answered his prayer for the land, and the plague of Israel was stopped. Amen. If you just stand, continue standing, I'm just going to lead us in prayer. Father God, I pray now that your anointing would pour over this word. Holy Spirit, would you come? We invite you in this place. God, would your anointing oil be upon us as we listen to this word, and may there be healings even as we hear the word of God. I pray, God, now that you give me the right words according to Colossians 4:4, as Paul says. I pray that I now would have the right words to correctly explain the word of God. And I pray blessing over the people to receive it on fertile soil. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So as I go into this message, what I like to do is I'm just gonna take off. I'm gonna jump right into the message. I'm gonna get right to where I believe the Lord has a word for us tonight. And as we read here that David sinned against the Lord, if we read just a little bit earlier before that, we'll see that David sinned against the Lord by taking a census. And it actually says that he felt the guilt in his heart. And the Lord told him to do a certain thing, and by doing this thing, he would heal the land and heal the people. Over 70,000 people already died at this point from this plague that came upon the people. And David says, "I'll do whatever it takes, Lord, for the plague to stop." And he goes to this man named Arunah, and he has to go and buy this threshing floor and make an altar to the Lord there. And from that altar, after sacrifices to the Lord, the plague will stop. And David knew from past experience, he knew from his own personal experiences that he can't just give anything to the Lord. Church, we can't just give anything to the Lord. The Lord requires from us a sacrifice that costs us. The Lord requires of you a prayer that costs you. The Lord requires from you a tithing that costs you. The Lord requires me, when I preach or when we preach from this sermon, intimacy that costs me in order for the anointing to be there. So I've titled my message, "The Cost of Consecration." The cost of consecration. And I want to look at two perspectives from this. I want to look at the perspective from King David, what it cost him. Not only what it cost him, but what he had to do for it. And then I want to look at the perspective of Arunah. says, we see the Lord doesn't take any sacrifice. In fact, in Psalm 66, David goes on to say the very words that I cried out to the Lord and I prayed to the Lord and he heard me. But, that's what David says, he said, I had sin in my heart. And if I had not confessed my sin to the Lord, he wouldn't have heard me. The Lord wants sacrifices that come from pure lips and clean hearts. The Lord wants sacrifices that come from clean hearts and pure lips. He doesn't want just anything. He doesn't want us just to lift hands and pray. We sing, I lift up holy hands to the Lord. So I want to give a quick example just so you can see why David knew it had to cost him something. If we look just one chapter over before this, in 2 Samuel 23, and many of us know the story, right? David says, I wish I had that water from Bethlehem. I wish I had the water from my own hometown. I wish I had that good tasting water. I drank Arrowhead. A lot of you guys hate it. Some people love it, some people hate it. And I picture David drinking his Arrowhead. He just wants that good water, right? And the three of his best soldiers, they plan to say, you know what, for our king, we're going to go and we're going to take some of this water. And I want you to understand that the three men who go to get this water aren't just any ordinary men. One of the men is claimed to have killed over 800 people with the spear alone. The other says that when Israel fled from battle, this man stood and held the ground. These are mighty men of God that are very, very valuable to David. And I'm just going to read a quick passage from here in verse 15 from 2 Samuel 23. David remarked longingly to his men, oh, how I would love some of that good water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem. So the three broke through the Philistine line, drew some water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem, and brought it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. The Lord forbid that I should drink this, he exclaimed. This water is as precious as the blood of these men who risked their lives to bring it to me. So David did not drink it. What that water represented in that cup was worth the lives and the blood of his three best men. So when he poured out this water on the ground, it wasn't just water. It represented the best that David had. And David said, forbid that I would even drink this water for myself. I'm going to pour this out as a gift to God. What is most valuable to me, I will give to God. So we see in the one chapter over where he says, I cannot give God something that does not cost something. We see why David says this. And David saw the effects of different things in the past, right? With Saul, with Saul's offerings, they weren't pleasing to the Lord. When Saul was told to do something, he didn't listen to the Lord, and the Lord did not receive his offerings. So David learned from his own experience that I must do something different. But what I want us to take a look at, what people don't really emphasize all the time, is we focus on the water that's poured out of the cup, but we don't focus on what the cup actually represents. I'm going to talk about this cup. The cup that poured out this water that was valuable to the Lord. This cup wasn't just any cup. Kings don't drink from just any cup. You can't give a king a clay cup for him to drink from it. The cup drinks from honorable vessels. The king drinks from things that are made of pure gold and pure silver. In fact, if we look in the Word, if we look in 1 Kings chapter 10, Solomon, this is what it says about Solomon. All of King Solomon's drinking cups were solid gold, as were all the utensils in the palace of the forest of Lebanon. They were not made of silver, for silver was considered worthless in Solomon's day. Kings don't drink from just any cup. So when they gave David this cup of offering, of the water from Bethlehem that he so long desired, I can only imagine that this is a pure, solid, clean vessel of gold. It's not an ordinary cup. It was a cup that was used for a specific moment, for a specific honor. And Paul talks about this in 2 Timothy 2. And if you're part of the worship team or if we've done events together, you'll know where I'm probably going to read from because I bring up this topic a lot. And it's one of my favorite things to come back to as we're preparing our sacrifice before the Lord on this stage. If you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll see Paul's perspective on this cup. And you'll see where I'm going with this. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and 21. And Paul says this. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood of clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones for everyday use. And if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use, and your life will be clean, ready for the master to use for every good work. God doesn't use just anything. God doesn't use just anyone. God uses a vessel of gold or silver that has been consecrated unto him. Follow me, church. God doesn't accept just any message from the sermon. God doesn't accept just any prayer when we lift up a prayer in our hands up to him. God doesn't accept any offering to him. It must be coming from a vessel of pure gold and silver that has been consecrated for the Lord to use for a specific honor at a specific time. Paul brings up the fact that in some houses, there's cheap everyday tools, right? There's some you use. If you go into your house, I'm sure every person has this mom. Don't touch that. I don't know how many times I've opened the drawer and I pulled a spoon out. My mom yells at me for using a certain spoon. Come on. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? It's for when a special guest comes into the home, correct? So there's tools that I'm allowed to use during the day, but when a special guest come over, there is something set aside. Come on, church. There is something set aside for when a person comes, that holy thing was set aside for a guest of honor. So us as a church, as a community, when we bring our gifts before the Lord, when we bring our fasting before the Lord, when we bring our tithes before the Lord, it must come from a vessel of pure gold that has been cleansed, set aside, pure, holy, righteous, ready for God to use for every good work. That when the pastors stand here in front and they lay hands on the sick, that these pastors have consecrated themselves before the Lord in prayer, in fasting, in dedication to God, so that when they lay hands and anoint with oil, the Holy Spirit is already here and manifesting and using them for the glory of God. There's a consecration that the Lord is calling this church for. There's a consecration that I put myself first and I say, God is calling me to consecration. God is calling me to righteous living. God is calling me to holiness. And as Paul described this, we must understand that Paul was the wisest, probably the best to understand the Torah, correct? I want to show you where Paul takes this from, where he's talking about gold and silver. He's talking about the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, if you know what that was, that's where the presence of God was. Not just anyone can enter into the tabernacle. And not just any time to make sacrifices to the Lord. But if we look at it in the courtyard, and before you walk into the Holy of Holies, into the holy place, everything beforehand was bronze and wood and silver occasionally. Once you step into the Holy of Holies or into the holy place, everything is made from gold. Everything is covered with gold. Everything is anointed in gold. In fact, when you step through the holy place, there's three items you'll see right away. On the left side, you'll see a candle or a menorah, right? That burns oil for the Lord. In front, right before the curtain, you will see the altar that rises incense before the Lord. And on the right hand, you will see a table of bread, of showbread. And I want to show you something from the book of Exodus. If we turn to the book of Exodus real quick, I won't spend too much time in this, but I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter 37, just to give you a picture, depict to you what was in that room. Chapter 37, verse 16. And this is speaking of Bezalel, who was filled with the Holy Spirit to make this place. And it says this: he made special containers of pure gold for the table. He made bowls, pans, jars, pitchers to be used in pouring out liquid offerings. Follow me here, church. What did David use when he poured out the water? What was that liquid offering coming from? It was from a gold cup. So we see that the things that were in this place, and not just anybody can be here because this is where the presence of God was. You see that the further out we were from God's presence, you're considered bronze and wood. the closer you are to stepping into God's presence, into the anointing, into where his spirit resides, there's gold and there's silver. In fact, there's even more gold the closer you get. It says that this candlestick, or the menorah, it was made of 75 pounds of pure gold. I just want to take you real quick to show you mathematically. I'm not a math magician here. If you are, follow along with me for a second. I want to show you what the calculations look like. There was 5,310 pounds of bronze used. In our day, that is equivalent to $7,700. There was 7,545 pounds of silver used, and that equates to $2,205,574. There was 2,193 pounds of gold used. This equated to $49,650,221, which gives you a grand total of bronze, silver, and gold used in the tabernacle of $51,858,494. What this is showing us is that not just any material was used to cater the presence of God, not just any material was used to honor the Lord, but what this is showing us, because in Hebrews chapter 9, we see that Jesus goes into the tabernacle not made of human hands. He stands before the Father in heaven, and he has made an atonement for our sins through the blood of his Son. But what this is saying to us, church, we are now the material used in the tabernacle. I'll say this again. We are now that material that was used in the tabernacle for the presence of the Lord. We are now the material used. We are now that gold. We are now that silver. We are now that bronze. We are now those tables. We are now those pillars and pitchers and plates and jars and things of gold used to honor the Lord. But we must keep ourselves pure. And let me put it this way. The further you are away from God, the more comfortable that you are with God, you'll be considered a vessel in the courtyard. You'll be bronze and you'll be wood. But with consecration, when you set yourself aside for prayer, when you set yourself aside for fasting, when you start to cut off things that you know displease the Lord, then you take a step closer. Okay, God, I want to be coated with gold. Okay, God, maybe this isn't even a sin. Maybe watching TV is not a sin, but I'm gonna choose to put this aside because now I want to be part of that candlestick. Okay, God, maybe sports aren't a bad thing. But you know what? I'm gonna put this game aside and I'm gonna step closer to your presence because I wanna be the coating of gold that's over the Ark of the Covenant. Because I wanna cater and hold that presence of God. Because when I preach, I want anointing to flow out. Because when I lay hands, I want to see Pastor Gog healed. Because when I lay hands on the sick, I want to see them come to life. Because when we do this, God is waiting for those tools that have set themselves aside in honor. God is waiting for those tools, those people who have set themselves aside in honor. And I just want to show you two little things real quick since we're talking about cups. In the construction world, there's a term used when someone does a horrible job. What is it, Gabi? This guy did a job like who? What cartoon character? Mickey Mouse? Man, that's tough. A cool job come Mickey Mouse. This is a lot of us in the church. We pour out liquid offerings to the Lord, our tithes, our prayers, even our fast. Sometimes it looks like Mickey Mouse, right? And we expect the Lord to bring his anointing and power over us when I offer him my sacrifices from a cartoon. When I don't consecrate myself to purity. When I don't consecrate myself to keeping my eyes clean, the gates of my body, my ears, my nose, my mouth, my touch, my senses. Keeping myself pure and holy, ready for the Lord to use for every good work. This is how my sacrifice looks like to the Lord. Many times. When he wants it to look like this. I don't have actual gold, so this is rose gold. I believe 99% of all women have a cup like this in their home, probably bought from Pottery Barn or somewhere else. This is what the Lord is desiring of us. That when I stand here at the pulpit and I preach, comes out of a gold vessel, so that the hearts of man and the hearts of his church will be revived, so that the hearts of his people will be revived. Thank you, Lord. And now that we understand David's sacrifice, I just want to look at Araunah's for one sec, because it wasn't just David who was tested with this. It was also Araunah. You see, I have to believe that Araunah was a gold cup. I have to believe that he was set aside as a vessel of honorable use. I have to believe that he consecrated himself unto the Lord for such a time as that. Because what does Araunah say? When David comes to him, he falls with his face to the floor. He says, "My king, look, I know you want my threshing floor. Not just my threshing floor. I'm about to get some gospel preaching going on. I'm going to give you my oxen. I'm going to give you the yokes. I'm going to give you the wood. I'm going to give you more than what you've asked of me because I want the anointing. I'm going to give you more than what you desired of me because I want to see your presence move and heal the land. And I've consecrated myself waiting for the opportunity to give you something that is pleasing, that is pure and holy." Araunah didn't just settle for a Sunday service. Araunah didn't just say, "You know what, God, I'm going to give you my Sunday morning, but I won't give you my Sunday night." Araunah didn't say, "I'm just going to give you a Tuesday Bible study." Araunah said, "God, I'm going to give you a Thursday Bible study. God, I'm going to give you a Sunday night service. God, I'm also going to give you, you know, a house prayer meeting. God, I'm also going to give you 21 days of fasting. God, I'm also going to give you consecration and prayer. God, I'm also going to give you purity through my eyes, not to watch things that defile myself. I'm going to give you more than what you've asked of me because I want to be that tool of honorable use for the kingdom of God." The church needs to know that the Lord is calling us to a consecration that is deeper than just a Sunday service. I'm not talking about Kanye. God is calling us to give him more than just a Sunday service. God is calling me to fall before the Lord at my home like this, to lead my family with honor. You know what God is wanting, and I'm going to give you a practical example. How do I consecrate myself to the Lord? Husbands, fathers, specifically you, according to 1 Corinthians 11, you as a head of the home, consecrate your family to the Lord. You know what this looks like? It says, "God, for one week, my family's going to turn off the TV." Can I get an amen for that? "God, for one week, we're not going to listen to anything that might defile our ears. We will play 24 hours of worship music in the home. Because if I'm not going to cry out, the walls will while I'm not home at work. God, this means that for one week, I'm going to turn off the Wi-Fi in my house." Sorry, youth. Instagram's gone for one week. Because if it doesn't cost me something, God will not receive it. If my consecration to the Lord does not cost me something, he will not receive it. This means that maybe sports aren't a bad thing, but maybe it's you saying for one week I'm not going to watch one game. Maybe it's you saying I'm not going to watch one movie. And maybe you're already at that point. Maybe God is saying it's time for you to throw out your TV. I'm not religious. I'm not being religious. I'm just being real. Maybe God is saying it's time for you to shut off the Wi-Fi because you're too distracted with it. Because the problem is, I can spend 4 hours watching a baseball game, but I can't spend 40 minutes sometimes praying for these youth. Come on. The problem is that I can spend 4 hours watching politics, but sometimes I can't spend 4 hours reading the Word and meditating on it and seeing that the power and value that comes from it, that sets people free and delivers people. Come on, I'm not trying to call people out. I'm just trying to be real with you. That God is calling us to a form of consecration that honors him. Because church, this is it's a sick world. And God wants people who are ready for work. Just like Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, God says, "Who shall I send?" You better believe Isaiah was consecrated unto the Lord. You better believe that he was set aside to say, "God, here I am." How many of us can raise our hands and say, God, here I am. I'm ready to be used. I'm ready to be used. Because I believe in a Mark 16 gospel, which says that these signs will accompany who? Those who believe. Doesn't say the disciples, doesn't say people of past. It says those who believe, that we will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed, that we will raise the dead, that when I speak to demons, they will flee. God is waiting for someone who has consecrated himself unto the Lord, that when someone is consecrated in purity as a gold vessel, that when I lay my hands on someone, I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command sickness to leave. I don't have to strive for 6 hours because God wants to use that clean vessel. That when I say, demon, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave this body and stop tormenting this person. That the demon would flee from fear of not me, but the voice that speaks inside of me, Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's that thing that when we lay hands on those who are dead, who maybe have died too early, according to Isaiah 57, it mentions this, that some people die too early. I lay my hands and they can be resurrected. And if not even the dead, look at the spiritually dead. Look at our sons and daughters. Look at our family members. That when I lay my hands on my family members who aren't walking with the Lord, and I say, in the name of Jesus, I speak revival into your bones. I speak dry bones to awaken. That the Lord would honor my prayer because I've been consecrated unto the Lord in purity, in holiness, in righteousness, in fear of God. So that's what it is. God is waiting for a church that will consecrate themselves to him in purity, in righteousness, that will be willing to cut off things in our life. Maybe they're not bad things, but God wants more. I'm not satisfied with preparing 45 minutes and then speaking 45 minutes. I'd rather prepare for 4.5 hours and speak 4.5 minutes. And know that preparation, while I stand here, I have the anointing of God. I don't want to come up here without anointing. I do not want to stand at this pulpit just to stand here, for there's no honor for me in front of you. My honor is from the Lord. And if I can't consecrate myself to purity, then I don't want to be here. But God, we must say, as Aruna and David were on that threshing floor, and they made their sacrifices to God, we must say, God, take the threshing floor. God, take my oxen. God, take the yokes. God, take the wood. I want to be used by you. God, put me through fire. God, burn away the hay and the straw. And if I had more time, I would get into the threshing floor and what it means to separate the chaff from the wheat. But this is our prayer. God, consecrate me unto you. Use me as a tool of honorable use, holy, pure and blameless, that I would be a vessel in the Holy of Holies, that I would be a vessel in Emmanuel Church, that I would be a vessel for the youth. And may God give us strength to discern that we need more consecration for him. In Jesus' name, amen.